This is The Table Business, a Sounds Like Adventure podcast all about people doing great work in the tabletop world. On this show, we're going to speak to the independent creators who make the games that you and I love. I'm your host and the DM of Sounds Like Adventure, Jack Traynor. Hey there. It's another episode of The Table Business. It's me, your host, Jack. Hey, how are you? Really good episode for you today. I'm joined by Tom. He is the founder, the owner, the do-everything guy of The Tabletop Bookshelf. Tabletop Bookshelf is an independent online bookstore featuring a curated selection of tabletop role-playing games and TTRPG resources. And my gosh, it's awesome. They have such a good curated collection, and Tom really knows his stuff. Today in the episode, Tom breaks down his journey. The business only kicked off in November of last year, around the same time Sounds Like Adventure did, and he's seen some great stuff in that time. So, let's get into it. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hello.
So, to start things out, you're the founder of The Tabletop Bookshelf. So, in a few sentences, tell me about yourself and tell me about the business.
Sure. I am Tom Gibbs. I have been a long time game runner and been playing TTRPGs forever, but I'm very proud last year in launching Tabletop Bookshelf. Tabletop Bookshelf is an online independent bookstore. We are dedicated to tabletop role-playing games, and we specifically want to support crowdfunded projects and independent publishers and producers. We carry other things, but we want to make sure that we are in that space and supporting the community that way. And yeah, that's about it. It's totally online, and we just got started in November, so we're just getting ramped up.
Wow, brand new. Same time as when Sounds Like Adventure kicked off as well. So we'll talk more about that soon. First, I always love to start these chats out by just sort of like getting to know everyone's path into the tabletop world. So what's your origin story? How did it all start for you?
Well, I'm glad you asked me. No one's ever asked me. I've been wanting to share this for a while, so I'm very proud of it. So, I'm from, outside Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And that is, if you don't know, that's about 30 minutes away from Lake Geneva, which is the birthplace of Dungeons and Dragons. And I had a much older brother who is 15 years older than me. And he was playing D&D in that first edition time. So he had, you know, all the old books, and I didn't really know about it, but I stumbled upon his artifacts when I was like 5 or 6, probably, you know, rustling through the attic, and all of a sudden I came across, what's this dragon statue, and what is this character sheet, and that sort of got, you know, I was always kind of interested in fantasy, and I think that was like, wait, there's a game I can play, and there's a different way to approach this whole genre, and so I, from there, you know, I occasionally would find little artifacts that my brother had scattered about, but I was raised in a very conservative area, and my mom was pretty conservative. And so she definitely was part of that group that saw D&D through a negative light. You know, there was that satanic panic that was going on in the early 80s. And the area of Wisconsin that I'm in is actually, it's almost as conservative as some areas that you'll find in southern the United States, you know. So I think for me, it was hard for me to get into it because of that. And it took time until I think I didn't really get to play until I was in college, actually. So I'd like done a lot of reading and, you know, always had, I had a book with me. I found my, you know, my brother's old Dungeon Master guide and would play in my bedroom, like solo stuff. And then, but finally in college, I was able to get a solid gaming group together. I wrangled some of my friends and said, hey, we're going to play basically like, we're going to play this game. And we launched off our first campaign. I still play with those guys today. So that's sort of my kind of journey into the genre. And now I've been playing for, you know, since third edition pretty regularly. And then more recently, probably since the pandemic, you know, I really started playing a lot more other games outside of D&D and just digging more and more into this world and unwrapping the layers.
Wow, there you go. I've never had someone who's so close to like the motherland, I guess, in some ways, like Geneva. I've read the book about TSR, about the founding of, you know, Gary Gygax, all of that stuff. Is there anything in Lake Geneva now that you can go and like look at? Like, is there a plaque somewhere?
There's Gary's house. I haven't been, but you can go to Gary's house, and I guess the owner is really nice. And if you ask nicely, you can go into the basement where D&D was born. So if you get an opportunity and you're very polite, I think you could have that opportunity. But there also is GaryCon happens every year in Lake Geneva right now. And that's run by Gary's son, Luke. And so that's still an opportunity, and that happens, I think, in the spring.
So let's talk a little bit about Tabletop Bookshelf now. So you touched on this briefly before, but let's dive in. Like, what's the key difference? What sets this apart from other online web-based TTRPG stores that are out there?
The thing right now that sets it apart is its personalization. So it really is me doing all of it at this point. And so you're getting a little bit of an extra level of attention, both in terms of what products are being selected, how those products are being delivered to their customers. I don't have a fulfillment service, for example, you know, in some warehouse somewhere wrapping up the books for you. I have them and I am wrapping them carefully and I am shipping them out to you. So hopefully that comes across. You're feeling that little extra care and touch that you won't get from Amazon or some of the other big retailers. And that's one of the pieces. And then the other thing I think that, you know, I've always envisioned it from the start as being not just a store, but also like an avenue to create content and share ideas with people. So, you know, I have an active YouTube channel right now and it's just starting to grow. And so the other aspect of that is I'm hoping that people are coming to Tabletop Bookshelf, not just to, you know, buy a book, but hopefully they're getting actual helpful information about what's inside these books. What do they look like? What's interesting about the systems? What's interesting about the settings? And so that's the tack I'm taking. I'm hoping my customers can see that.
So why did you decide to focus on these independent works, these crowdfunded things? Why was that such a focus for you?
You know, I want to have this mindset of abundance, and I want to have this idea that I can grow the community. That's sort of been the goal, is grow the hobby. And I think the best way to do that is to be supporting creators, and not to do it through the large megacorp channels. And I think that allows, you know, what happened for me is as I started to dig deeper into tabletop role-playing games, I was blown away by the amount of creative work that is being done by the community. Sometimes I talk about it as like the punk spirit. Like there is a punk aesthetic or spirit that is underneath the community. And I think it's like the DIY piece. Like people come up with these ideas and there's enough tools and technology now, people can make it themselves. And they don't need to rely on these large corporations to do the distribution and a lot of the work that used to be done before. So I'm hoping that I can help in that spirit and help create, you know, support people to create more fertile ground for more of this like amazing creative work that I see. So that is where I'm coming from.
So it's interesting you talk about that punk mindset there. I think that's really fascinating. And this is something I noticed myself recently. I'm in a bit of a dad music era at the moment. I'm listening like to a lot of like old folk and old punk folk that was around, like, you know, Shane McGowan from the Pogues just passed away. So I'm going back to a lot of Pogues at the moment. And if you go back through Shane McGowan's history, he was writing fanzines at points before he became like a musician. Billy Bragg talks about the fanzine writer as like a key person in his in the mythology of his music. So it's really fascinating because like how many of like TTRPG people start in like the zine version of things, like these shorter versions of things. So there is a real similarity there. That's really fascinating.
Yeah, it came to me too, you know, and I've done a little bit of, I'm a musician too, so I you know, have can feel that, and it was the closest analogy I could come to when I started.
And I notice on the website that you say that the collection is curated. Can you tell me why that's important?
You have to have a differentiating factor, and at one of the differentiating factors, I have a couple, but you know, one of the pieces is having that level of curation. In my mind, when you're looking at retail, that is really the core of your retail experience, is decided by your product selections. So I'm trying to be careful about the things I bring in to make sure that it is that I can like deliver on the things that I said before, but also still make sure I also have to do the numbers, right? I have to make sure that things are going to line up number wise so I can keep doing this and keep growing and helping people out. So it also gives me an opportunity to just read everything and look at everything. And like I said, as an enthusiast, this is what I want to be doing anyway. So being able to do that sort of review and curation and then have it become a experience for people, I think that is what I'm aiming for. That's why it's important. It's really about, you know, defining the business, and you define it through product. And then that becomes the story of your business, really.
There's one thing I noticed in there that I think you don't really see all that much in like the e-commerce, the web space. You have a section called Second Chance Books. Can you tell us a little bit about that section?
You know, one of the things that is interesting, I guess, at my scale is that I can do a lot of experiments. And one of those experiments, and like I said, just getting started, one of the experiments is I have this opportunity. This is sort of a publishing thing, is there are, you know, large houses that will put in orders for thousands of books, your Barnes and Nobles, et cetera. And some of those books will not make it to sale. They will sit on shelf. And then what happens typically is the big publishing house will say, I am going to buy back those books, or you can send them back to us if you don't sell them. So what does the publisher do when they have all these books that get sent back? They have to find a place for them. And sometimes that might mean they just get scrapped. But there are also these extra clearinghouses that will take that stock and then offer them up. And so I'm basically going to those other third parties, and before they hit, that's what I call a second chance, like, right? Like they've been out there once, they've been circulated, they've never been read. So the cover may look, you know, it may have like a little extra scratch or a little extra, you know, rough edge, but they're totally fine books. And I want to just have that opportunity to give them, like I said, give them a second chance before they, you know, hit a landfill or something like that.
So I like to always end these conversations with a couple of recurring questions. So first one, this would be an interesting one to hear your perspective now, and then I will have to bring you back a few years in the future after the business has been around for a while to hear how things change. But what's one thing that people don't realize about independent tabletop business owners like yourself?
Being independent means that I will like never be able to compete with Amazon. Amazon is the gorilla in the room, right? They kind of set the prices in a lot of way for the entire market. Them and Barnes and Noble, I think, control over 50% of the book market. As an independent bookstore, your value has to be beyond that price and convenience. And so that is why I have the YouTube channel. It's not just a place to get a book. It's also a place to learn about the books, learn about the community, and get that knowledge. I think that's it. Yeah.
Question two, what was your first ever character in a tabletop game?
Man, I'm one of those forever GM, DMs people. I think...
Did you DM your first game? Does that mean?
Yes. So my...
Me and you both. I keep encountering people who actually DM their first game. Tell me about the first game that you DM then. What did you run?
Nice. So I, like I said, I didn't really play until college. And then around that time, the third edition 3.5 books came out, and dove into those, and my friend group was already a little tuned into the Forgotten Realms setting through the books and everything like that, through the Dritzt books and all of that. So that is where we started our campaign, and in the Silver Marches of Forgotten Realms, you know, my group getting ambushed by orcs. That was the first encounter in one of the mountain passes up there. And that is what kicked things off. And here we are, you know, later, you know, older, some of us have kids and we're still playing in the Forgotten Realms. Yeah.
An undisclosed amount of years later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You see how I dodged that?
3 or 4 years later, right? You guys still in your 20s.
Right, right. Yes, bro.
And then final question. When you think back to your years spent around the table, do you have a favorite story, a favorite memory?
One of my favorite moments was my group had been, they were trying to get an artifact from a tree that was surrounded by ghosts. And one of my characters who had previously gone through a ghost haunting and lost years of their lives, like lost the saving throw again, was terrified and ran off basically from the encounter. And, you know, I said, you know, your hair turned gray, your hair got this gray streak now. And he was like, my character runs off. And the other characters finished up the encounter, had to go find this character and found, and they had gone invisible. So they were looking around for this character and finally found this invisible, you know, depression in the grass, sobbing. And that was the other character, you know, traumatized. The cleric in the group, you know, puts her hand on this sobbing character, casts a restoration to get that haunting off of him. And I'm like, oh, well, then the hair on your head, it loses that white streak and it comes back to full color. And that moment of that happening was like, it was like a perfect combination of the character's idea and me as a DM, and then the setting and the mechanics, like all working in harmony to deliver that like poetic moment. And so that is it. That's my favorite story.
Tom, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find more about Tabletop Bookshelf?
Well, you can find us on all the socials. We are on our YouTube channel. I would definitely check that out first. And we are at Tabletop Bookshelf on YouTube, on Instagram, on Facebook, or just go to the website. Go to tabletopbookshelf.com and you can get all the links and check out what we have there. And we are, like I said, we are just getting started. We have, I think, 30 to 50 titles right now, but you know, we're hoping to get to, you know, over 100 by the end of the year. So just stay tuned because we'll be adding new stuff every week.
Thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Awesome. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Table Business, a Sounds Like Adventure podcast all about people doing great work in the tabletop world. If you'd like to know more about anything we spoke about today, all the links for all the people that we spoke to are available in the show notes. Or head over to soundslike_pod on Instagram, and we'll definitely be talking about them there. And if you liked what you heard, why not check out Sounds Like Adventure? That's our main show. It's an actual play podcast with fun roleplay, short runtimes, and great sound design. But to make sure you don't miss the next episode of The Table Business, make sure you subscribe to or follow the show in your podcast app. And a 5-star review really, really helps to get a few more people to see the show. And we hear it, Sounds Like Adventure. We would be so grateful if you took the time to do that. All right. With all that in mind, we'll catch you for the next episode of The Table Business.